Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am joined by Bubble Boy and CJ, who are in the studio with me. And also via the web, Jerry the Diver Guy is with us now, I think. We finally got him connected. Jerry, how are
What's going on?
What's going on up there in the mountains of West Virginia or Virginia?
Easy there.
Yeah. Which one?
Virginia.
Virginia, right.
I'm just it wrong every time.
Well, no, he's in the eastern side of West Virginia. Is that right?
No.
He's in the
eastern side of
Virginia.
The western side of Virginia.
Yeah,
now you got me confused.
Okay, well, see, that's why I'm here, is to confuse as many people as possible. So I'm glad I was able to accomplish.
He's in Virginia, not West Virginia.
Okay. Well, he's somewhere in the mountains.
Even I know that.
Close
I
enough.
Rarely pay attention.
And the spring water is flowing, prominently there this afternoon. It's good to hear your voice, Eric.
Froze today.
You about froze, huh? So the spring water is
snow all morning.
Is there a layer of ice over the spring water there in the mountains of Virginia today? Is that what you're telling me? That stuff can't
snow.
That can't freeze over, can it? It can't. I don't believe it can.
No, it can't freeze.
It can't freeze, yes. Good for spring water.
But it's good, awful cold.
It's awfully cold, so you're ready to go diving, are you?
Oh, no, no, no.
No. Treasure diving.
I'm a warm water wuss like you.
Well, no, I mean, you could come down to Florida and come diving with us, is what I'm saying. We'd go down to Aruba or Bonaire or Grand Turk.
That'd be soon.
It needs to be soon. You're starting to freeze.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank goodness you got your spring water to keep you warm in the meantime. But what about this, Jerry? What do you think about this treasure hunting stuff that we were talking about in hour one?
Sign me up.
You want to go? Have you ever done any of that stuff?
No.
But that's on your list as well. You want to earn that gold bloom or silver medallion or whatever. Wait, what are those, by the way? Let's see. I don't even know the proper verbiage. So
I think it's booty.
A booty, yeah, everybody wants booty. Because it's all about the base. And but it's the thing is the gold doubloons, right? It's gold doubloons and pieces of eight. What are pieces of eight? Is that the silver? Is that a piece of eight silver?
I think so. I believe that's
pieces
a Styx album.
Silver, I think.
Yeah, look it up on Google there, Bubble Boy.
All right.
Let's get it. We're probably not giving out the proper stuff. Like, there's pieces of eight that I guess
we
those are.
We learn our stuff before we go.
You would think, you know, honestly, I don't care. If it's a silver coin or a gold coin, if I find it in the water as a diver, it's going around my neck. Now, I might say.
If it's shiny.
Yeah, but
pocket.
Shiny and colorful. You know, the thing is, you can go buy this stuff in a store, but that's not the same. You can go buy a piece of treasure from the wreck of the Atocha there in Key West and say that you found this. And matter of fact, we've actually gotten some stuff from Carl in the past. I bet he still does this. He'll take gold that he found on a wreck like the Atocha or something, and he'll melt it down. Form it into one of these gold, like pirate coin type things, right? And put it into a little necklace type of frame, and then turn it into something that you can wear around your neck and say you found this piece of pirate treasure from the Atocha. Now, it's made from metal that was salvaged from the Atocha, but it wasn't actually a coin. You hear what I'm saying? He kind of makes this stuff up for people that are too lazy to go find it themselves.
Well, Greg, I did find a definition of pieces of eight for you on the internet.
It's gold or silver.
It's in Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia, Pieces of Eight is the eighth studio album by Styx, released on September 1st, 1978.
Go! I knew it.
The internet never lies.
Yeah.
I was right.
Actually, that is correct. I know that much.
Is that the one with Renegade on it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
That'll be great.
All right. Well, we at least got
that
much.
If only we had the rights to play it.
No, yeah, we would.
I've actually got a friend that lives in Chicago that worked on the Atocha back in the 80s.
He worked on the wreck of the Atocha? Really?
Yes.
Well, you can do that today. You can go, you can call the Mel Fisher folks and work out a deal to go dive the wreck of the Atocha with them. They're still salvaging that wreck off the coast of Key West today.
I think when he worked on it, Fisher was still alive.
Well, there you go. So, no, I did that like 2 years ago. I went out there and did a dive with them for the afternoon, and they basically take these big these blowers, which are basically like, say, you have these outboard motors, okay, on a boat, and depending on the type of boat, but they'll create these, they'll put the motors and shield them in like a case, like, I don't know, like plastic drums that will create a vacuum or a blowing sensation with the you know, with the blades of the prop, and they'll turn the outboard motor into like a blower, right? And they'll aim the direction of the thrust from the engines down at the bottom of the, you know, at the sand of the ocean floor, and it'll just blow a big hole in the ground. It'll just blow all the stuff all over the place. But, you know, when they finally turn it off and it clears up, you get this big crater, and it blows all the sediment and sand away from the hard pan of the ocean floor, the limestone down there in Key West where they're doing the Satoshi stuff. And that's where the gold settles. That's where all the coins and the artifacts, they settle down through all that sediment, and then they lodge themselves on this hard pan of limestone or whatever, and that's where they find gold coins, you know, tucked into the little limestone crevices, or, you know, silver boxes and things, pearls, God knows, you know, rubies and all kinds of cool stuff. Now, the day I went there, they found absolutely nothing. So that was kind of
not even cocaine.
Nothing. Exactly. Yeah, that's the problem with the drugs. They evaporate with the they get blown away with all the sediment and stuff. So we didn't find that. But I will say that the stuff when it blows off the limestone, you know, hard bottom or whatever, and you see all these cracks and crevices and things and all the other things that are there, like, you know, dead pieces of coral and sand dollars all over the place. All that stuff you see in, like, the Shell Man stores there down through the Keys.
You ever see shark teeth?
I'm sure they were there. I didn't really look for those, but I bet they did have those too. But there was a lot of cool stuff to look at just from, you know, just to entertain yourself underwater. But we didn't find any gold or silver or any kind of cool artifacts from the Atocha that day. But they do what they do. They blow these craters into the ocean sand and just kind of, you know, do this patchwork and work all the way, you know, across an entire area. Because this crater will be like, you know, it'll be like 20 feet across. So it's like taking a giant swimming pool and, you know, doing like a cookie cutter type of thing all up and down this area where they're trying to mine for gold. And so it's a neat process to witness and to see. And you can go do that today. So just go to melfisher.com or just Google them. You can participate in that effort. So that they run a very, I don't know, tight ship down there with the Mel Fisher folks. The stuff Carl's talking about, you know, where you just kind of know where you have to know where to go. That's where the main thing is. Now, the Fisher folks know where the treasure, you know, the path of the Atocha, where they found the mother lode, so to speak. And then it's, you know, it sprays out all over the area. So they still to this day haven't covered everything. They know they've done a good chunk of it, but there's still, you know, millions and millions of dollars of stuff still to be found. That's why they're still working this wreck, you know, 20 years later. You know, it's kind of weird in that sense and kind of cool at the same time. So you can still go down there and find stuff like that, but you got to know where to go. And reading this book, I didn't realize how much research was involved and how much wasteful time can be spent, you know, using an underwater metal detector trying to find stuff. And not really, you know, just totally potluck. You might as well, you got a better chance winning the lottery. from what they're telling me or what it's they read about. And when you, if you really want to find something cool, you got to know where they potentially, you know, sank this boat by going back to these archives in Spain and things like that. And that's what Carl does. He's the research guru for treasure hunting. So we got an in. We got someone who does all the hard work. We just got to go out there and say, Greg, go here. We take our underwater metal detector and go find millions, and then we can retire. Who's in?
Greg. I'm in.
All right. Jerry, the diver guy, you're in, right?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. We're there all the way.
Okay. All right. We got a team.
Today's the
day. Team of underwater treasure hunters.
Do it.
God help us.
Today is the day.
Today is the day, yes.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Kevin Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
And that's a good thing if you want to go diving. That's what we do. We specialize in going down. All right, look, I was on a little family vacation last week. Bubble Boy and CJ held down the fort here at the Scuba Radio Studios.
And I'm gonna replace every drop of that rum, by the way.
You're going to replace every drop
of
that
rum? Did you see the IOU in your liquor cabinet?
Oh!
I'm good for every last drop.
And I'm sorry about the bathroom.
I just haven't been out, been able to get out to the liquor store.
That is just wrong. Really, guys? Really? But I came back in. They had this story. I said, Greg, did you see this thing on Facebook? Or YouTube or whatever it was. Was it Facebook?
I guess it was Facebook. Dive Training Magazine.
Yeah, okay. And I follow them on Facebook, as every diver, every good diver should. And they had a post up there about a incident in Dominica with sperm whales. Now, I've been Dominica several times. I've actually been spy hopped by a sperm whale.
You've been what?
Spy hopped.
What's that mean?
It's where they come up out of the water and with their head and kind of look at you at the surface. It's called spy hopping. Cool. Those little whales do. So they come up vertical out of the water, and their nose comes up out of the water like a giant, you know, mountain type of thing because they're massive. Edge, and I was sitting there on the edge of the boat, and he pops up there, and he's like, whoa, hey, and you can see their eyeball, and they look right at you like, hey, what Whoa. The hell are you doing here?
So that would be like the opposite of bobbing for apples.
Bobbing for divers. Maybe that's what he was doing. And yep. I was on the boat at the time, so luckily I didn't get goosed. I just got spy hopped.
That is cool.
But yeah, it was cool. And they have these resident sperm whales in Dominica. And evidently, these divers were there. And they talked about this in some article that they got posted on Facebook. And actually, it's some Canadian diver friends that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's the folks from ReefNet. They make these little data recorders and some noisemakers. They made some for Scuba Radio years ago. But Chris, and I think his wife is the one who's quoted in the article. And I could be mistaken, but I do recognize the name, and they're great folks. But they were there, supposedly. Let's say it was them. They were there. They see these sperm whales, and they're free diving because the diving does spook the whales. So they don't – actually, they don't usually get very close to them. Unless you're, you know, very careful and you're going out with a certified whale watching excursion and boat and expert and that kind of thing. And evidently they went out there and they free dived with him and was diving down into the water, got close to one, spooked it a little bit, and scared the poop out of it. And ended up they talk about how they swam through a punami. And how it would just got worse. You know, as bad as that sounds, the way they describe it in their post, it sounds even worse than what you imagine.
There's like four pictures.
Yeah. And all you see is brown bleh, all over the place. It evidently relieved us. They scared the poo out of this sperm whale and got it all over themselves.
That reminds me, I'm a little thirsty. Do you have any Yoo-Hoo?
Oh. So they went searching for Moby Dick, and all they found was Moby ass.
I don't know, Jerry, the diver guy, have you ever had an experience like that where you scared the poo out of some type of marine life? What do you think? No?
No.
No. No. I was actually in Fiji and had that experience with a manta. Now, I didn't believe that to be the case, but everybody else was watching me. I was filming, videotaping this manta that was at a cleaning station. I was coming up behind it, and they said, oh my God, Greg, that thing just totally relieved itself all over you. And I was like, hey, that did not. I didn't do that. I was just hovering.
Well, you need to have a custom bumper sticker made for your vehicle. It says, a bad day getting pooped on by marine life diving is better than a good day at work.
Well, that would be true.
It's a little wordy. I need to work on that.
It's a long bumper sticker.
Now, I know I'm not alone. And, Jerry, you can back me up on this. Now, if you go diving in the Caribbean, especially down there in the Florida Keys, it's very common, especially when you're videotaping, to be relieved on by a parrotfish. Because what they do, they chew up the reef, right? And that's what parrotfish do. They turn the reef into sand. Because they're nibbling at the reef all the time, and you'll be filming them, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll swim in front of you, and there'll be a trail of poo. But it actually, all it is, it's you know, just crumpled up, you know, coral. It's not like the traditional poo that we would expect in a punami from a sperm whale. So it's not
in on the front and out on the back.
Exactly. That's it's just they're just chewing it up and you know, creating sand for all the beach lovers to enjoy. That's what parrotfish do. They make the beach. So
must be a lot of them.
There's a ton of those parrotfish all over. Yeah, and that's what they do. So it doesn't necessarily have that same connotation, I don't think. You know, being pooed on by a parrotfish is kind of like a badge of honor for divers, is it? Is it not there, Jerry? Or do you? Is that just me having kind of like a strange fetish kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
I believe it's your fetish.
Okay.
I'd like to think I made a great impression last time we were in Dominica, Greg.
Yeah, what do you mean? Why? What'd you do? What do you? You made a great impression on Dominic. Oh, by the way, you did. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. It's okay if the marine life poos on you, but if you poo on the marine life or the romantic couple that are downstream in a waterfall in Dominica, that's no. That's
when in Rome.
But they weren't in Rome. They were in Dominica. Bubble Boy was in Dominica, and he did.
Did you say this was a dump back whale?
He made a funny.
I mean, what a catastrophe! Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the hot and cold.
Is that really all the poo jokes we can pull out? Literally?
Oh, no.
That's just a bunch of crap. Anyway. Okay, they can't all be winners.
That's what the whale said.
Exactly. But anyway, I feel bad for those folks. But on the other side of the coin, I'm like, look, if this happened to you, would you want to share it? I'm not so sure. Hey, man, I went to Dominique. Guess what? I had a sperm whale, and we swam through its poo.
Gray poupon.
I don't know if that's something I'd want to really, you know, publicize that much.
Well, you told us about the manta.
Well, he didn't poo on me.
That sounds like he did.
No. They said I scared the poo out of this manta, that I got too close to it, and he relieved himself, and that kind
this
of thing.
This is a mess. These
I didn't pictures, swim
this
is
a
through lot.
They said this was a 100-foot whirlpool. Yeah. And then he fanned it with his tail, like he's going, yeah.
Like, in your face!
Yeah.
How dare you!
Yeah.
Sharknadoes ain't got nothing on me. Take this, poo on me! Yeah, whales with an attitude in Dominica. You gotta love them.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
I got to give a little shout out to Captain Rice. He's been emailing us lately about. I talked to him on the phone. He called me up a couple weeks ago, and you know, he was in the armed services, and he was just kicking back listening to the show and called the studio here, and I ended up having a nice little chat with him. And he's been emailing me ever since, and I've been getting your emails there, Captain. Appreciate it. Keep it up. He's planning to go diving here soon, but he says we ought to check out the Mediterranean. Mediterranean? Yeah, something, one of those with an M. Yeah, that's where he was stationed, and he said he wants to go back there and do some scuba diving now that he has more time. So we'll have to get a report from him when he does just that. All right, you know, some other stuff that's been going on in the news here last couple weeks. Haven't really talked about this a whole lot, but maybe you saw the news story that we did promote on our Facebook page about Tom Cruise visiting the Cayman Islands and doing some diving, evidently on break or in preparation for the new Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah,
and
second thing.
Yeah, and he supposedly was just showed up on the dive boat and surprised some folks as he was brushing up on some skills, and some people had a very interesting dive buddy. But he evidently did pretty good from what I hear. I had my moles check into it and said he had a good time out there in the Caymans. And then the other diver that you may not realize that I've heard is actually a pretty good diver is our buddy Geraldo, who's on Celebrity Apprentice, unless he got voted off last week. I didn't see it because I was traveling. But I think he's still on. And he actually went diving with Neil. He's done some diving with our buddy, the dive god, Neil Watson. So I'm going to get an update from him and see if he's reached out to Geraldo lately, now that he's back in the news with his Celebrity Apprentice thing. And then, CJ, you saw a thing that Jeff Gordon...
Yes.
He's pulling back from his racing so he can get in more scuba dives, because he's a certified diver as well.
I don't think that's the reason, but
I bet it is.
I bet he's going to be diving a little
more. I mean, if you were racing around in cars, wouldn't you get kind of bored going the same direction, turning right every time?
Not at that speed.
You don't think so?
No.
He wants to do something different, more challenging, more adventurous. So he's going to do more diving, and who can blame him?
This is
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Place like this is getting germs on your elbows.
I don't understand why anyone would want to come to a dive like this.
You say dive like it's a bad word.
Look around, people are having fun. It's a dive, Bree. Dive in.
It's a scary dive. Silence. We are going underwater.
That's what it feels like when you come up for air. When you come up for air, you feel brand new when you come up for air. When you come up for air, that's what it feels like when you come up for air. When you come up for air, you feel brand new when you come up for air. When you come up for air.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy, CJ in the studio. Also, Jerry the Diver Guy connected via the web from Virginia in the mountains. Freezing cold, snow on the ground. And he has a picture of a, you know, white sand beach, 85 degree air temp, water temp, and at least 85 feet of visibility. Is that's the picture that you have in your mind? That's what's keeping you warm, right, Jerry? Is that
it? That's correct.
That is correct. Well, you know, that's what I experienced last week. Just to rub it in even more. Yeah, that's why I'm here. Come on.
Put the salt in the wound.
Yeah, why not? Well, salt, you know, you need some of that to kind of rim the glass of your margarita. Now, here's one of the places I went last week. Actually, two of the places I'd never been to, and that was Aruba and Grand Turk. And then the other stop I had was in Bonaire. Now, I've been to Bonaire many, many years ago. Actually, before I started doing scuba radio, I went to Bonaire on a trip before we actually even started the show and stayed at Captain Don's habitat. Still tell the story of Charlie the Tarpon that I saw on a night dive, and he came out into the beam of my light and chomped a fish in half. And this was after swimming with him for about 30 minutes, thinking, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I see him literally devour a fish right in front of me, you know, within a couple feet, and didn't quite look at Charlie the same after that. But a very memorable experience, for sure. And the diving, from what I remember, you know, that many years ago, was great. It was the easiest diving you can do, because Bonaire is known as the shore diving capital of the world. But I got to tell you, you know, when I went there, I was not planning to do any diving. I didn't really have enough time. I was only going to be there for a few hours. So I went there with the idea of going around the island and just taking a look, see what is new and what has changed. And my brief little visit around the island reaffirmed something that I keep seeing time and time again when you go to these little Caribbean islands like Bonaire and the less developed areas of the Caribbean islands like this, is that they don't change at all. I mean, after 18 years, literally, it looked exactly the same. You know, maybe I missed something. And obviously, there's a little bit more development maybe by the downtown cruise, you know, pier or something, but even that didn't even look like it was much going on there. So I was surprised that Bonaire didn't look much different, but that's kind of what I experienced in Nevis and things like that. But and that's obviously the appeal of some of those islands as well, is that you go there and you can, you know, have a 10-year lapse between visits and feel like you were just there, you know, a couple weeks ago or a few days ago, and can pick up right where you left off and go explore some new dive sites and things like that. Just as cool. The water was crystal clear, gin clear diving down there, very easy, that kind of thing. But really nothing different from what I witnessed. Now, once again, I didn't get to do the diving, so it'd be interesting to get back down there and do some real diving with those folks, and I got to make that happen. Maybe this will be the year to visit Bonaire again. But the two places that did surprise me were Aruba and Grand Turk. Now, I got to be honest, when we went to Aruba, I honestly did not expect anything. Aruba is known to be a very developed island. It can be a very expensive place. It's very high on the list for sailboaters, and we cover, you know, some places to visit in Aruba on our World of Boating show quite a bit. That gets brought up every now and then for the cruisers. Love going there because there's constant wind around that island, and it's ideal for sailing around those, well, the ABCs of the Antilles, which is Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. So Aruba is where it's situated. It has these constant winds blowing a particular direction that makes it ideal for sailboaters. And as I saw when I was there, you know, the big new thing, or newest thing, I guess, is, you know, kite surfing. It might be a kite surfing capital of the world now there in Aruba. But the beaches there in Aruba and the, I don't know, the amenities they have topside are impressive. I mean, they have some, this area, Palm Beach in Aruba, literally has every kind of, I don't know, every type of restaurant and nice, cool, outdoor atmosphere type restaurant type of cafe kind of place they could ever imagine. They have everything there. And the beaches are very, very nice, very picturesque. But what was impressive or appealing to me more than any of that was looking out in the water and seeing how clear the water is, knowing that there had to be some good diving out there. If it's that clear, and you got that beautiful of weather, I mean, it was blowing, it was a nice breeze, but there weren't big waves or anything like that, and that's usually what ends up being a problem for the diving part. It'll churn up things and make visibility not as good. But I was surprised. I thought, you know, hey, this looks like a cool place to go dive, and surely, I mean, there were definitely some dive operations there in Aruba that maybe we need to go take a look at. Have you ever considered that as a dive place? Jerry, from the divers you take from Virginia, or no? Has that even popped up? Yeah, you know, they get eclipsed.
It's never popped up.
Yeah, they get eclipsed by Bonaire and even Curacao. People just don't go to Aruba for diving, or it's just not known for the diving, maybe because it has all this other stuff. But I'll tell you, if you have somebody who doesn't want to dive 24/7, Aruba might be a place to look. Now, I could be totally off base because, once again, I didn't get to dive, so I didn't see, but I did see how, you know, the visibility was, I mean, it was gin clear, just like you would see in Curacao and Bonaire. But you have this added value for people that don't dive, if you want to go to a nice restaurant and, you know, the casinos and all this kind of stuff. And it wasn't like overbearing. It was definitely developed specially in pockets and upscale and that kind of stuff. But it wasn't like overblown where you went like, oh my God, there's no green space at all on the island. It was still very, very Caribbean island feeling. You know what I mean?
You've been diving a long time.
I have.
How many years have you say?
91, I think I got
91
certified.
Years.
Yeah.
So, have you, in all your years of diving, have you ever seen a submarine?
Yeah, I've been on one or two.
What?
Yeah, of course, CJ.
I mean, while you're diving, have you ever seen a submarine?
Yes, actually, I have. Yeah.
Where?
I saw the Atlanta submarine.
Can we talk about that?
Not a sandwich,
when I was diving.
Not a sandwich he's talking about.
No, the Atlanta submarine. I could have done this actually on this last trip. There you find the Atlanta submarine at all these islands throughout the Caribbean. I saw it in the Caymans. I was on
the Atlanta submarine?
Atlantis submarine.
Atlantis.
It's a chain, and they take tourists down in these subs. And they don't go very deep. They actually have two types. They have one
like a bathysphere.
Yeah, well, they have some that stay on the surface, and then they have a two or three person sub that that'll go way deep, like two or three. Yeah, but it's more of a touristy kind of thing. You've seen that, right, Jerry?
There's one of those in the Caymans, aren't they?
Yeah, they have it at like every island. I mean, they had it in Aruba, they had it in Bonaire, they had it in Grand Turk, I think, too, maybe even. And so, you know, it's a very popular thing for the more developed islands, for sure. And even less so. I mean, you get that in Key West. They have those in Key West.
Have you ever been in one?
Yeah, I have.
I don't know if I would like that.
No, they're cool. But, you know, when you're a diver, it's kind of a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I'd want to be out.
Because you're in this little tube, and you're looking through the little hole, and you're like, wait a minute, this is okay, but I'd rather be in there with the fishes as opposed to watching them through a glass porthole like I'm at an aquarium.
The only way it would be better than actually be diving is if there was a sperm whale nearby.
And you saw all the other divers get pooed.
Yeah,
swept up in the poo-nami.
Yeah, you could laugh at them.
Yes, exactly. There's that. Yeah.
Fire torpedoes, one
so
and two.
So, you know, you can do that.
Fire in the hole!
You can do that
in
Aruba.
Fire in the hole!
Or you could go to Grand Turk. Now, here's Grand Turk. was an eye-opener. I did not expect this. Now, this is the capital of the Turks and Caicos. Now, I've been down
there.
That's
in Turkey, right?
No. That is, it's where we were on the liveaboard, the Turks and Caicos 2 Explorer boat. You guys were on that boat. We had a great time. That was one of the, and I've been on that itinerary many, many times, but we always just cruise around Providenciales and the reefs around French Key and stuff like that. We never go over to Grand Turk, or at least I have not. They have run over there before, but that's evident. It's about 50 miles away, so it's a bit of a haul for the liveaboard to go dive over in Grand Turk. But I had to stop on Grand Turk. They had put in a new, it's a new cruise ship terminal that is actually the base of it is I guess the world's largest Margaritaville from Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And he's partnered with Carnival, so I went over there and checked it out. I got to tell you, this place was impressive. And I'll tell you, you know, why this is good for divers next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring. Hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, remember the first time you saw Jaws? How long it took to go back in the water?
Let's go down, together, down, together. Let's go down. Together, down, together, down, together, yeah,
this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Let's go down together. It would solve all the world's problems. There would be no war. It'd be all love and peace and flowers and kumbaya, that kind of thing. Don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like one happy family? We belong to a very exclusive club. Here as scuba divers, certified divers.
I pay a lot of money for that VIP room. Oh, you're talking about diving.
Oh, boy.
Shut up, the wives may be listening.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of nice to be able to do that and share this love of the underwater world. And I'll tell you, the thing about Grand Turk, I want to make sure people understand where I'm coming from, because I'm not a big fan of cruise ships coming into the islands and putting up their little, let me give you a very specific example. In St. Kitts, they have built up a cruise ship terminal at the pier there in St. Kitts that does not represent the island whatsoever. I mean, it is like a cookie cutter, you know, touristy, you know, gift shop place that you could take and, you know, from Orlando, Florida, and drop it there in St. Kitts, and people get off the cruise ship and think they've been to St. Kitts.
Wow.
And I see this. I mean, it's a cool little place to hang out, but it like has nothing to do with St. Kitts. And a little bit frustrating when you think people are getting off the boat thinking that they've been to the island and that's all they've had the opportunity to experience, or they don't feel safe enough to venture past that area. And that's why they do that. It really is a comfort thing. So I do understand it to a certain extent from you know, the cruise lines, you know, customer satisfaction of you, because a lot of people are a little gun-shy to get out there and, you know, meet the locals and really kind of have a cultural exchange, you know, with some places that might be a little rougher than others. You might have to be a little bit more careful depending on which island you're talking about. But, you know, it's
like,
you mean
like pirates?
Like pirates, yeah. Because, yeah, you don't want to get...
Bandoleros.
But you know, if you see, you're smart about it, you can pretty much go to most islands. As we have proved over the years, I've yet to be mugged. Now, knock on wood. I'm knocking on
my
head.
Well, you're an intimidating...
Well, true.
Presence.
And I am
so who's gonna mess with you?
Deputy black belt in Taekwondo, with like the Barney Fife of black belts. But, you know, it's enough to keep the booglers at bay.
The what?
So, the booglers. So anyway, but maybe it is just me. But my thing is, you know, I'm not a fan of those cookie cutter type of cruise ship terminal island visit places that these businesses have set up throughout the Caribbean and wherever else they go.
That's the same problem I have with NASA. You're nowhere near the moon, the real moon.
What? You mean
you go over to the, you know, the Cape and
the
you're
space
not,
station?
Yeah, you're not on the moon. That's not the real moon.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Cape Canaveral. You're not talking about the space station.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
whatever.
Touristy. Whatever.
It's identical.
oh, my God. Oh, my
CJ's
God.
CJ's been drinking.
I almost fell over.
5 o'clock somewhere.
No.
So, how you know, I visit Grand Turk. Now, Grand Turk, very, very small island. There's only like 3,000 people on this island, right? And they have built a $500 million complex for a cruise ship terminal for Carnival. And but what is a little different about this one is that it's right on the beach. There's a really nice snorkeling right there.
Cool.
And the center point or the focus of the whole place is a giant Margaritaville.
Yes.
Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. They got a flow rider machine with the surfers going on. They have all these pools and stuff, but a lot of sand and palm trees and stuff that they've incorporated in the layout. I mean, this thing is literally like a, you know, Carnival. God bless them, man. They created a Carnival commercial at the beach because you could stand there from the Margaritaville, sipping on your margarita and looking out at the cruise ship that would be framed in palm trees, white sand beach, and snorkelers out there in their bathing suits, bikinis, whatever, and the cruise ships in the background. I'm like, oh, my God. It was an amazing, amazing picture or postcard that you just couldn't even construct.
You're right.
Photoshop.
That sucks.
No, I'm saying this is good. They did a good job.
Oh, you like that one.
For the first time. And I'm thinking, you know, despite the fact that, you know, people go there, it's not really Grand Turk, you can still take a little tour of the island and take a little run around the island, and that'll take you about an hour. You know, it's a very small island, and you can get away from the crowd very easily, but the area that they've built up there for the cruise ship passengers is actually pretty cool. It'd be a neat place even for the divers to go hang out on their surface interval. Go pick up a Margaritaville T-shirt, and hey, what diver doesn't want that? I don't really understand. I get these gripes from people that they want to go to these out island places, which is true. You want to go to places that not many people go to dive and that kind of thing, but you still want to have something to do on your surface interval besides sit out and suntan and read a book.
That sounds like
sometimes
fun.
Yeah,
you know, and this would be a cool place to go hang. you know, for a little distraction. And, you know, so I don't know. I was impressed with the way it was laid out. Now, other people may be hearing this and thinking, Greg, you're on crack. And I promise you that is not the case. I might have had an ibuprofen before the show today, but that was the closest it's come. Okay? But I liked it. And wait, you got my steel drum out there before. CJ, what are you doing?
I'm playing around.
You're playing around? Oh, that's so cute. What does that mean?
Scuba radio.
Yes, it does.
Check it out.
Okay, there you go. See, man of many talents. Okay. The motto, Scuba Radio. Captain Slate's burden. Okay. All right, well, on that nonsense, we'll end it. We thank you for listening. We'll be back again live next week for another two-hour dose of diving news and information. Till then, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody!
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.